our custom to read the Psalms as a part of our New Testament reading after Job chapter 42. So Lord willing, next week we will begin with the Proverbs. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to reading through the Proverbs. One of those books of Scripture where you can be slain with a sentence, right? Job chapter 42, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And it was so, that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went, and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren, and all his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him, and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this Job lived 140 years, and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days. Thus ends the reading of God's inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word. Hard not to get choked up reading this passage. It's very difficult because what we see here is true repentance. What we saw in chapter 40 was Job, like we said earlier today, kind of hunkering down. Okay, I'm not going to speak anymore, but still owning himself. Then notice what Job says. First of all, he says this, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Not any of my thoughts, like you know, you're going to read my mind no matter what, but not even a thought of yours, Lord, can be withholden. If you think it, you do it, you get it done. Nothing, you cannot be restrained in anything. So that's the first thing. The first thing that Job brings here is that, you know, the Lord is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He is powerful. And there's nothing that restrains him, nothing that holds him back. He is not put to the worst by any. Rather, he does what he pleases. Then Job does something very, very interesting. He says, Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? He repeats that sentence with which the Lord had charged him. He repeats that back to himself. You know what he's doing, right? He is owning that charge. He is owning it as his own sin. he is saying to the Lord, yes, yes, indeed, I am the man who darkened counsel without knowledge. I acknowledge. I recognize. I confess. Yes, I charge you foolishly. Brothers and sisters, this is what confession of sin is. You know the Greek word for confession has as its constituent parts two words, hama, logeo. We know the word hama from milk that is homogenized, right? So there's lots of different parts, but it's put through a process that what? Makes it all the same, brings it all into harmony. Hama, logeo. Logeo means to say, to speak. When we confess our sins in order for it to be confession, brothers and sisters, it must be the sin that we confessed. I'm sorry, the sin that we committed. It must be confessed in truth. It must be confessed in the full flower of its heinousness, in the full flower of the accusation of God, in the full flower of the law that condemns the sin that we committed. Notice how Job undertakes to do that in this passage. He repeats the charge back to God, owning it as his own. It's very, very important that we learn how to confess our sins in such a way that we're not minimizing. You know we do that by nature. You know we do that without even thinking about it. We don't have to be taught how to minimize our sins. We do that getting up off the couch. And so what we would learn from Job here is not to minimize, but to face fully and to confess freely the sin that we've committed. Remember Achan and Joshua? Joshua draws him near and he says, "Tell me, my son, what you have done. Hide it not from me." Remember that? Don't minimize. Don't mitigate it. How many times have you been accused of something? I know I'm getting right down on your toes here. I understand. I'm getting down on mine too. And in our answer, we use the word just. I was just. You know what that is? That's minimizing. It's minimizing. Not Job's procedure here. Repeating the same charge with which God had charged him, he is owning that charge. Yes, I have darkened counsel without knowledge. I was ignorant to speak to God. He owns the charge. Therefore, I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Notice the fullness of his confession. I was a man ignorant. We see the same thing in Psalm 73, don't we? The psalmist there, Asaph, it's a psalm of Asaph, he says, I was looking at the rich and golly, it looked pretty good. I mean, they were ungodly and rich and it looks like they're having a great time. And then he said what? Well, if I should speak like this, I should offend against the generation of thy people. And then he says, so foolish was I. I was ignorant. And in thy sight, I had become like a beast. Like a brute animal. So devoid of understanding was I. See, that's confession of sin, isn't it? It's really drilling down to what we've done. All right, so then, verse 4, Job turns and it's just... His procedure here is so commendable. He says, before, and this is all kind of implied in what he says here, before I demanded of you, I'm going to demand of you again, speak to me. Wow. Whereas before, his demand was, come and hear me, come and hear my side. Now he says in verse 4, hear I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee. Declare thou unto me. Speak to me. Don't shut me off now. After three chapters, you might think Job's ready to wither away. I hope you're just getting warmed up. I hope you're just getting started. And then he says this. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This is why it couldn't stop at Job chapter 40. Because Job had not yet reached this place. The Lord had not yet brought him to this place where Job was ready. Even if it means another so many years of suffering, Job says, okay, speak to me. I will hear. No more complaint. No more speaking of things of which I am utterly ignorant. Speak to me, and I will hear. I will demand of thee, but the only thing I'll ever demand of thee again is that you will not stop speaking to me. I want to hear. Convict me of my sins. Show me my baseness. That's no problem for me. That's repentance. Oh man, that's repentance. That's what it means. Not the cheap imitation of, okay, let's just move on now. Let's put this behind us. This is no cheap imitation. This is repentance. So that's the first part, verses 1 through 6, and that's Job's repentance. The second part is the friends coming to Job at the behest of the Lord. And so notice that Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad the Shuhite, those three, not Elihu. Elihu is not judged for what he says. What Elihu said was indeed in accordance with truth. But the other three, they must go to Job, that Job would offer an offering for them, that they would bring their offering to Job, and that Job would offer that offering. And the Lord says, I'll hear Job on your behalf. Now the Lord does this to restore fellowship between them. I think it's pretty obvious that what could be the remnant of the discussion between them is that they never speak to one another again. Well, the Lord brings them together. The Lord causes the three friends to go to Job, whereby, number one, he vindicates Job against the charge of hypocrisy that those three friends had brought. But number two, he brings them together in order that they might continue their friendship and their fellowship between one another. This is especially important. Job also acts as a part of an intercessor here on their behalf. So his heart is melted toward them and their heart is melted toward him. It's very, very important here that the Lord takes up this procedure. And then in verses 10 through 17, we have the restoration of Job. And the only thing that I really like to maybe press in this is that, you know, the Lord does not use anyone with no without charges. When the Lord would chastise you, remember that the rewards that He gives always outweigh the difficulties and trials that He brings. They may not be in this life. They may be that better inheritance like we see in Hebrews chapter 11. But we will never be the worse for serving God. Never. And the Lord brought upon Job this signal benefit so that it would be clear to all people and to all those who would read later like you and me and to all the people that Job knew that the Lord is not unjust, that when He puts someone to grief, it is not simply because He likes pulling wings off of flies. He likes seeing people suffer. The Lord does restore. The Lord does bless. And His blessings outweigh His chastisements. Yea, His chastisements lead to blessings. And thus ends the reading, and thus ends the book of Job. I hope you've had as good a time as I have reading it. Let's stand and